Thank you all today. Hey, it's been a great little program. Thank you, Jason, for inviting me to come here. I've known Jason since I was in high school, and he was trying to learn what a cow was, I think. And so we bred a lot of cows and did a lot of cool things. Cassie talked about some generation stuff. She forgot to mention that most of the baby boomers were really hippies. They weren't really anything else. And I come from a family of hippies. My parents were, Woodstock variety of let's build a tent in the mountains and smoke as much pot as we can, and now it's legal. So they're happy. So that's what I grew up with. We lived in a tent and had no running water or electricity until I was like six, and it was kind of a interesting experience. But there was cattle ranches surrounding our property. I think my parents just decided to steal a piece of property from some of the ranchers there, and they were afraid to chase them off. So growing up, I saw all these guys ranching around me, and I loved what they were doing. And as 8 years old, I just decided that I was going to write myself a bus ticket and get off the bus at the ranches after school every day. And so I worked for another hippie along the way who was just as hippie-ish as my parents, but he was working on a ranch. And I spent most of my young childhood there, ended up meeting Jason and a lot of other people. Over the years, I ended up at CSU. Animal science never really... I never thought that education was going to be something I wanted to actually sit in class doing. Look, I know a lot of you guys learned everything you know standing out in the field getting your hands dirty. So I thought I'm going to try something different. And I got an ag engineering degree at CSU. That just means that I know something different than animal science. Not that I know any more, but just something different. So that being said, that's kind of my background. I've worked in a few different engineering and construction environments, and then now I've returned back to Livermore and work on a big privately owned ranch there. We run, there's 500 cows on the place, and we're working on some different things. This cow herd, they talked about hybrid vigor yesterday. I kind of acquired a cow herd that's, I believe, 25% antelope. I'm not sure. But they get pregnant, and they don't eat much. So it works out okay. My input costs are pretty good. So I had a good discussion last night with these guys. It was good to hear some of their ideas aren't too far from what I'm doing. So I'm going to talk about just opportunities today and how to make them work for us. You know, we look at, there's a possibility with every decision that comes in our life, and we've got to figure out how to make that possibility work for us. And then we need to leverage that, right? We need to leverage everything we have. My parents declared bankruptcy, I think, by the time I was 20 years old. So we've got to leverage what we have because we don't always have a big, huge bank account to ride on. And then you know what? We talked about this a little bit. I questioned these guys last night about pride. You know, we're a proud bunch of people, but sometimes when you're a young person, you just have to kick pride to the door and you have to find things to do that'll work for you. And then at the end of the day, you know, we all have our priorities and we have to keep those straight. Otherwise, we're going to end up in trouble. So, look, if you go to school for engineering, everything boils down to cost-benefit analysis. You know, you figure out how much it's going to cost and what are the benefits of it. So, fortunately, my wife's not here, but that was a super cost-benefit analysis. I looked at that situation and I said, you know what, she's going to cost me this much, but the benefits are over here. So we're doing good. And I've got her convinced that we've got her costs under control, too. So we got to look at all those possibilities, right? Every situation comes around us and it leaves us with a choice. We've got to make sure we analyze that choice so that it doesn't back us up, but we're still taking steps forward. You know, he talked about goals and setting dreams. You know, we need to know those dreams, but we need to make sure that our choices are getting us to that dream. You know, and everything we do, we need to kind of think about how we're getting there. You know, I just about 4 hours ago, I got a notice. I'm working on going back to grad school to figure out if I can get any dumber or smarter. I'm not sure. And I just finished an application there. But I asked myself, why would I do that? And look, there's some huge upside to that cost of going back to grad school. I can learn a lot more stuff. Education is never ending. It's great. And I can leverage off of CSU and use some of their research dollars to make the ranch better, make the ranch more profitable. That's leveraging and making that possibility work for me. You know, another thing... I don't know how many of you guys have people that like to hunt on your ranches. I am grateful that hunting season is over right now. Look, we live close to a pretty big town, and I get 40 phone calls a day about people wanting permission to hunt. And so, look, I've learned. If there's no such thing as a free ride with me. I might ask my wife. So anybody that comes out to fish or hunt, they can't fish or hunt until they work for me for a couple days. So they have to build fence, or they have to pick up sticks, or they have to do things. You know, and the last thing, when we have these opportunities come to us, we've got to take some chances. Look, we're all relatively conservative in our politics and in what we believe, but at the end of the day, we have to be a little bit of a risk taker. Otherwise, we won't get anywhere. So I'm going to move on here. Look, at the end of the day, we have to leverage everything we do, right? We have to make that dollar work for us more than once. If I'm gonna invest, as Jason was talking about numbers here a few minutes ago, if I'm going to invest in a cow herd or in a ranch or anything like that, I can't just dump a bunch of cash into a ranch and expect that thing to work, because I won't have any cash to run the thing. So I need to figure out ways to make my dollars go further and work for me, not me work for them. So just a couple of examples here. You know, pay attention. Find cheap equipment that you can maybe pay your mechanic to fix. You know, look, as a young guy, I can't go to John Deere and buy a $300,000 tractor. It doesn't make sense. So then we got to reuse our relationships around us. Jason talked about a lot of the different adventures I get into, but those adventures I can leverage a little bit every day. Look, as a young producer, there's very few ranches you're going to be able to get into that aren't loaded up with conservation easements right now. So you have two choices when you work with a conservation easement. You can fight with those people and figure out how many ways you disagree with them, or you can leverage that opportunity and say, okay, how can you guys help me help this place get better? I work with the Nature Conservancy on the ranch that I run. They have a heavy-duty easement on the ranch. Pretty much tells me I can't do anything except for run cows and maybe farm where they used to farm. But I can go to them, and I ask them for help every day, and they love supporting me. They love seeing new ideas, and they help me find food. They help me find money for new projects such as fencing and livestock water projects, new irrigation. And then they all, and look, if you choose to fight with them, they all have way more lawyers than you can ever dream of, and it's not even worth it. And then look, ironically enough, you know, they come from a sector of people that I don't get to relate with very often. So they give me a connection to a group of people to market some of the ranch products to that I would never relate with. I was having a conversation with them the other day. There's a place on the ranch that has really bad erosion, and I told them I wanted to grow a bunch of hops on it. And they were like, yeah, let's figure that out. And so we're going to work on how to grow hops on the ranch now. I won't be feeding them to cows, but, hey, they're a $2,400 an acre gross value crop. So, hey, we got to figure out how to make this place better, right? And then, look, the NRCS is a great organization. I work with them a lot. This ranch is under a conservation stewardship program contract. So every year I have to work with them to do some range management and some other ideas to take care of the ranch, and they cut a check to the ranch every year to do that. Then the other thing is, look, you have to work with the people around you. The top group here you see on your screen is Wildlands Restoration Volunteers. It's just a bunch of volunteer hippies out of Fort Collins, really, and CSU. But they love coming out to the ranch and working on things. And you know what? They're free labor, so the costs and the benefits work out pretty good. And it gives me an opportunity to engage with somebody that might be hostile to the agricultural industry if they didn't know any better. And so I can go out there and talk to them about, here's what we're doing to protect this range. Here's what we're doing to protect our resources. I mean, we all know that at the end of the day, agricultural producers are really the true environmentalists, because we live on it. We cannot corrupt our environment, because it won't work for us. But they need to know that. They don't get that in college classes. Not all those professors sit there and tell them about how great ranching is. So I work with groups like that. I invite out some of the college students. This picture here of the kids on the bottom, that's a bunch of college kids in the Society of Conservation Biology. They come out and work on the ranch. They work hard all day for two Saturdays a year, and they'll do whatever I tell them to. I bought 40 shovels one year, and I made them all dig a trench by hand, and they loved it. So, and at the end of the day, they all said thank you, and they all had a better appreciation for what ranchers are doing. And these are the people that are going to be graduating college next week or next year and going out and writing conservation easements that make our lives harder, right? So we got to work with these people. We can't fight with them all the time. Then the other thing is, not everything is negotiable. You should never pay full price for anything. I'm a part-time rep for Big Iron Auctions. So I work here in Larimer County and a couple counties in Wyoming selling equipment on the auction. And the guy that owns Big Iron Auction, he told me that his goal in life is to buy Big Macs at less than retail value. So I think he negotiates with every Big Mac dealer. He's going to have a real hard time when they just go to kiosks when they want $15 an hour. But he's taught me that we need to negotiate for things. If we just turn our back and say, yeah, that's what you want, that's what I'll pay, well, we're not getting the best value. And again, we're going back to this cost benefit analysis. Hey, I'm going to pay the lease and get the best. And so, and same as them with their deal and feed and talking to farmers. Look, engaging with your neighbors, engaging with other producers is the best way to learn how to do your job better. Look, everybody has been through the fight you're going through today, and they all are doing a great job, and they all have a good way to get around it. The other sad thing about being a big auction rep is it satisfies an addiction that I have. My wife probably thinks that cost benefit's pretty bad because I'm addicted to buying things that I probably don't need, and now I get it I get it right in front of me every day. Here's an example. You know, look, I go around and I talk to people. I just happened to meet my neighbor. His hired hand drove his swather into the ditch and wrecked it. His insurance company totaled it. My neighbor said, well, look, I'm going to pay off the insurance, and I bought it from him for a huge discount. And look, I'm not afraid to straighten a frame out on a bent-up swather. And, hey, look, I paid half price for it, and I've used it for 4 or 5 years now. As an agricultural engineer, I work on big irrigation canal systems, automating canal systems to make them run better. And so the company I work with is Rubicon Water. They're an Australian company. And look, Jason's right. Look, Australia is ahead of us in a lot of ways. They're ahead of us on the beef side. They're ahead of us on the irrigation side. They're ahead of us in a lot of ways. But this gives me an opportunity to know what the most cutting-edge technologies are in irrigation, and also to be out talking to farmers. Because, look, I've grown up on a beef production area, and I don't know squat about farming. I'm going to learn how to farm hops here shortly, but I don't know squat about farming. So I love being able to work with Rubicon and go out and talk to farmers and learn how to farm things and how to grow crops that I've never learned how to grow. And you know what? Being a rancher makes me a better engineer. Look, a lot of farmers don't want to hear from some, they call them pencil neck pricks. But by me coming from a ranch, I'm a little bit more relatable. I can talk to them about their problems, and I'm not so arrogant about the things that they're dealing with. And that's leveraging one job to make another one. And I talked a minute ago, but you know what? As a young producer, we have to leave pride at the door. You know, we all want to have the nicest truck or the fastest horse or the best dog. And believe me, I've had the fastest horse, and I've won horse races. I always buy a horse, and I say, if she's the fastest one, I'm going to challenge everybody in the neighborhood to a race. It's $100 to enter, and if I can get as many people to enter as I paid for the horse, then I win. And so it's perfect, But we got to check that sometimes. You know, we all want to drive a nice truck. And look, it's not bad to drive a nice truck, but look, those things don't pay you back. I mean, the cost benefit there doesn't work. And I mean, look, I don't have the best dog, but he kind of is a counseling session for me. You know, after you yell for a while, you feel better about yourself. So those are some of the things. You have to really understand what your wants are and what your needs are. Look, I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I had this conversation on Sunday about she thought that she needed something, and I was pretty sure it was a want, and trying to get that through a 6-year-old was a pretty good challenge, and I still haven't won that conversation yet. But that's something that we have to deal with, even as young producers, as old producers. We have to understand what are our peer needs and then what are our peer wants. And then at the end of the day, you know, we all have our priorities, right? We always have to stay grounded. And look, we have to, as a young producer, we have a lot of future ahead of us, right? So we have to make sure that we maintain our relationships and that we have strong friends around us that are going to support us and help us through the way. But to do that, you have to be honorable in everything you do. You can't just be trying to sideswipe people and make a quick buck here and there. You're better off trying not to rip somebody off than you are to make a quick buck. It catches back up with you every time. Look, our reputations is all we have at the end of the day, and we have to keep that where we want it. You know, and like I said, agricultural producers, and especially range producers, are the biggest environmentalists out here. Look, we have a range to protect. If we don't take care of our range, we don't have a place to put our cows next year. So we have to respect our situation. We have to make sure we're maintaining it and making it better. You know, she was talking about the investment in cover cropping and grazing, and you know, it's an investment in the future. It's making it better. We have to do that. We have to think about range health. We have to keep that as a high priority in our life. We have to keep our livestock healthy. You know, look, it wasn't that long ago the sale barn here in Fort Collins kind of got in the news, and it was because people were bringing unhealthy livestock into the sale barn, and they take them and try and sell them. Well, somebody was there with a video camera. You know, we've got to keep our livestock healthy. People see that. Look, we have to watch out for each other. And then, you know, we have to keep our neighbors happy. I don't know if any of my neighbors are here today. But we have to keep our neighbors happy. Because, look, they're our biggest allies. And they're our best advisors. They'll tell us when, if they respect us and we respect them, they'll tell us when we're doing things right, when we're doing things wrong. And they'll help us out when we really need a hand. And don't, I mean, that part of that's kicking your pride to the side. Look, I'm terrible at asking for help. I get stuck all the time. I mean, all the time. I think I have an affinity with burying tractors and trackos and pickups in the mud. And my wife thinks that I'm silly because I don't ever ask for help to get unstuck. But that's part of my pride. I'm working through some of that. And we've got to keep them around so they can help us when we really need it. And then, look, we have to take care of our priorities, our families, our faith, and who we are, our nobility. So that's kind of where I've come from. If you have any questions, by all means, Jason knows how to get a hold of me, or I'll be there this evening. Thank you.